You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, No Bad Dog Army. Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast and my second YouTube channel. Guys, I just got off the phone with a dog owner and he was asking me when is it appropriate for his dog to attack people randomly. The answer is never. But where is that threshold of neurotic behavior and warranted behavior for a bite? When is it appropriate for a dog trainer, a behaviorist, or a professional in any industry with the dog to say, you kind of deserve to get bit, versus that's never acceptable? And so this dog owner, respectfully, if you're listening and watching, and he even admitted he's making up every excuse he possibly can to make sure that his dog doesn't get put down and that he's making a good decision. Now, because I only consulted with him online, that's not really my say. But what I did say is, look, you know, this guy was driving in his car and his dog was in the back seat and his dog attacked his sister randomly. So what I said was, that's not okay. That's probably the dog's genetics going a little bit haywire. That's not okay. You should be talking to the breeder more than anything, more than a trainer. He said, well, could it have been because the dog was protective of the back seat? Could it have been because the dog's blanket was back there? Sure. These are all potentially warranted reasons for a dog to get upset. But where is that line in the sand? Where is that threshold? Where is that ceiling where the dog goes too far and it is not safe, not normal, and really points back to the dog's genetic disposition? Meaning, you know, if your mom was 7 feet tall and your dad was 8 feet tall, chances are you're going to be pretty big. And with breeding dogs, the reason why people breed dogs for, let me back up. The reason why people breed dogs in general is they're looking for specific behavioral traits, specific features, physically, aesthetically, even. When I got Burley, my South African Mastiff, he's a Boer Bull. He is a Boer Bull. Boy, oh boy, is he a Boer Bull. If you've been listening, if you've been watching, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So he is a dog that I really like, but he's also a really challenging dog. And one of the things that I talked to the breeder about is I said, hey, I have young kids. I have a young family. I live in a neighborhood filled with other young kids and young families, but I want a really protective dog. I want a dog when I travel all over the world to help people. By the way, I'm coming to England this month in September. I'm also doing a seminar at my facility in New York next month in October. And I'm going to Down Under in Australia and in New Zealand in November. And I hope to see you there. I want you to bring your dog to me. I want to work with your dog. I want to help you with your dog. I want to change your life with your dog. Tickets linked in the description. And I said, I travel a lot and my family is home left alone sometimes. And so I said, I want a really protective dog, but I want a dog that isn't ever going to go too far. And so my breeder in Texas had said, okay, I think I have the perfect dog for you. I'm breeding this dog and this dog, and they both have those features. They're going to be big. They're going to be loyal. They're going to be protective. They're going to be scary. They are going to do everything that you want them to do. And they're obsessed with kids. They're great with kids. They're gentle with kids. Burley. Gentle, yes. Great with kids, yes. Gentle with me? No. Does he listen? Yes. Does he want to listen? No. Is he reactive? Yes. Does he want to be a jerk? Yes. Does he listen? Yes. So My point is when you're breeding dogs, you're looking for, and I'm not gonna call out this breeder because it's actually a well-known German Shepherd breeder that people would probably recognize. And the reason why I actually made this video instead of posting it is because he talked about the breeder a lot, and I didn't want to do that to the breeder because I don't think it's fair, and that's not really my style. So that's the conversation you have with the breeder to say, hey, the dog you bred is attacking people. The guy also was attacked by his dog because, and here's the thing, the guy was getting up with a remote in his hand and he grunted a little bit because he had hip issues and the dog attacked him. And I said, yeah, that's not appropriate. That's not normal. You should be able to get up from your own couch without your dog attacking you. And he said, well, could it have been because I grunted? And this is it. Like, some dog owners get into this unrealistic, unfair place in their mind where they are scraping the barrel to make this make sense. And I have empathy for that. I have understanding for that. I have grace for that. I have patience for that. But as a professional and as a dog owner of my whole life of 30 plus years, how old am I? I have to ask my wife. And that's not appropriate. That's the line that gets drawn. So again, going back to the car, the dog attacked his sister in the car randomly. And he said, well, could it have been the protective thing? I said, sure. But a dog that has a good disposition and a good temperament may just give a little like, bah. Maybe won't want to move. Maybe huffs and puffs and moves away. But they're not going to attack. And that's the difference between a dog who has a good temperament and a dog who is got some genetic issues, in my opinion, right? Same thing with you getting up. You get up and you grunt. I don't know how this guy thought that this was a reason for the dog to attack. And I know that you're probably listening and watching, and I know that you're reflecting on all of this. And I said to him, that's not a reason for a dog to attack you. Like, can your dogs are sentient beings. Can they get upset? Yes. Can they get frustrated? Yes. Can they get sad? Yes. Can they get mad? Yes. They can get all of these things. They're allowed to do that. They're animals. But when you're living with an animal in your own home and you're afraid to get up off your couch, that's unacceptable. That is not okay. So when you have a dog that bites you and attacks you for no reason, don't try to make up excuses of why you think that's happening because because the thing at the end of the day, guys, is it doesn't mean you have to put down your dog. That's the thing, as I told this guy, as I said, I don't think you have to put down your dog, so I want you to get that out of your mind. Or I said, I'm not going to tell you you have to put down your dog. And that was like one big relief for him, because the entire time he was talking, I think he was just making sure I didn't say that, because I think he talked to other people who did. And I'm not even saying that euthanizing the dog would be out of the picture. All I'm saying is there's things that you can do before that. And, you know, I don't want to get too far into the rabbit hole in dog training, but I just want to talk about that ceiling. So again, one of the things that the dog does is he attacks the other dog for really small reasons. He said that he was feeding his dog watermelon, and then his dog attacked the other dog because she was accepting watermelon. And he said, the other dog who attacked didn't even like watermelon. I said, yeah, that's not appropriate. That is not okay. Can another dog come over and go, hey, I want a piece? Yeah. Can another dog come over and go, hey, what you got? Yeah. Can the other dog come over and even say, hey, I'm growling, get the heck out of here? Yeah. But can he get up out of the lay down position, go over and just nail the dog because they're accepting something? That is not okay. Now, you guys know my whole trademark and you know my whole logo, No Bad Dogs. What that means is, because I'm a dog trainer, 99.9% of the time people come in with dog problems, I let them know that they are the issue. That's what that means. But it doesn't mean that some dogs aren't born to have the genetic disposition to actually be bad dogs. You know, so I'm not saying that this dog is bad either. I'm just saying it's possible that this dog could be a bad egg. And the thing is it has this guy done anything to make this worse? Has this guy done anything to make it better? And so that's what I found out really quickly is, and this is what I told him, is I said, there's a good chance, knowing with my experience and all the dogs I've worked with, judging by what you're telling me and what you're doing with the dog, is that you probably can't get the dog to do anything at all. Good chance. Like, so then his dog is in his office and he's yelling at the dog, sit, 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 sit. And the dog literally just walks off, just walks off. I go, yeah, man, that's the point, right? And the guy was like, you know, frustrated with the dog for sure, but it shouldn't be a frustrating thing. It should just be an eye-opening thing. Like, yo, man, here's the thing. You want your dog to stop doing these very advanced, in-depth, emotional, hormonal, stop doing these things that we don't quite understand as humans. But buddy can't put his dog into a sit with nothing going on in the room. That's a problem. So that's the first step. You know, he was like, well, what do I do? I said, okay, well, you got to audit your baseline. Because I always tell people, if you have the most aggressive dog in the world, but you also have level 3 and really good obedience, you're going to be much safer, much calmer, much more successful than the out of control 6-month puppy that's jumping and scratching the shite out of everybody. Period. Full stop. So that's what I said to him. I go, you have a lot of work to do. You have a dog that has severe behavioral issues, likely stemming from genetics, which you can't change, but you can manage a little bit or a lot in some cases. But you don't have the basics. If you can't, even, I told him, I said, even if you came into me with the most nicest, friendliest, well-bred German Shepherd in the entire world, and you said that you wanted to make a therapy dog out of this dog, you still wouldn't be able to do it because you don't have any foundation. You have zero communication. Guys, you can't get dogs to stop doing things if you can't get them to do anything. If you can't get your dog to sit, down, stay, or heel without any tools, no treats, no prong collars, no e-collars, no hand cues, no signals, if you can't look at your dog and say down or sit, you can't tell your dog what they can't do. How about that? You can't tell your dog what they can't do if you can't tell them what they should do. I don't know. Maybe I'll rework that. Somebody in the comments, play with those words and make it make sense to everyone. But seriously, I mean, I was like, buddy, you have a dog who is biting your sister in the back seat for existing, and you're trying to figure out how to turn it off, and you're trying to figure out if you can make it better, and you're trying to stop it, and you're spending all this money on people like me to tell you words of wisdom, but you got to look and audit the foundation. It's like calling up your contractor saying like, hey, I need to build these windows bigger. And you're like, the foundation isn't even poured yet. How are you going to make any windows get any bigger? Because they don't exist yet. The concrete isn't in the ground. What are you talking about? Right? You know, it's like, it's like the, what do they say? The horse before the carriage. It doesn't make any sense. And so when you have a dog, so there's a lot of things going on here. And one of the things I thought was really fascinating, which is why, of course, I have my podcast, the number one dog training podcast in the entire world, and made my second channel, was because I was sitting there thinking, like, what is that threshold of a dog being grumpy and upset about doing pretty mundane and simple things? Yeah, I don't want to get off the couch, but I will. Or, I want some food, give it to me too. Or I don't want to walk, I'm going to just lay down. Things like that versus like a dog just running up and biting somebody. Like this guy got attacked by his dog several times. He showed me the puncture wounds. And it's like, you know, I call it the stop it syndrome. I want to stop this from happening. Guys, if you have a behavioral problem with your dog and you can't get your dog to sit, don't even have it in your brain. No matter how much money you have, no matter how many good connections you have with good dog trainers and experienced dog trainers, and it seems like everybody I talk to think it's cool and think it's a thing that their local trainer is a police canine trainer. That doesn't mean anything. There are some great dog trainers that are also police. I have friends, shout out to Chris Jones. He's one of them. But police canine dog trainers typically don't have the patience to work with pet people, and they typically overcorrect, under reward, and leave you with a really stressed out dog, just in my experience. That's just a sidebar. I love law enforcement officers. I have friends and family that are part of them. I've done ride-alongs myself, but I'm just saying, some of these military and law enforcement officer guys, just because they wear a badge and they carry a gun, dog owners, that doesn't mean they are the best. It doesn't mean they know what they're doing, because I've met a lot of canine guys who have no idea really what they're doing. They just got picked for the lotto to be a canine guy. They went through the academy and now they're on the streets. God bless them though. And not all of them. And I'm not talking crap. I'm just being realistic. And if anybody is in the canine world, you're probably shaking your head like, oh yeah, I got a couple guys like that on my squad. So anyway, just know that you really need to pull the curtain back and realize there is an excuse for your dog randomly attacking people. There is no excuse. There is no, yeah, well, what about this? No, that's bull crap. Your dog should not be attacking people. Like what we're seeing a lot now, and I don't know if anybody out there is seeing this as well, we're seeing so many, and I talked about this on a podcast recently, we are seeing so many golden retriever puppies with resource guarding. It's silly. It's silly. Every call we get, they go, I got a golden retriever what? Resource guarding? Ding, 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 ding. Yep. Almost every time. And it's like, so there's a genetic gene pool that's going around that is passing. It's like a disease. It's literally like the cold, like the flu. They're just breeding all these dogs with all these issues. The thing is, guys, so many people, I would say the majority of people who are breeding dogs aren't doing it for the right reason. Hot take, probably not doing it for the right reasons. Hate to tell you, hate to break it to you. They're doing it because they want your money. They're not calling the people who just bought the dog in a year or in 6 months saying, hey, Susan, how's the puppy that I worked so hard on that looks great and has good temperament? No, they've already bred 6 other litters by now and they could care less. And by the way, you can't contact them if thing goes wrong. You're going to call a dog trainer and say, hey, my 6-month-old golden retriever is biting my face off because I went near their food. That's a genetic problem. That's a bad breeding problem. You need to either go to the shelter, get a super mutt, or you need to do your research about what dogs you're getting, how long their pedigree has been around. You need to go spend time with the mom. You need to go spend time with the dog. You need to get into their food bowl. You need to mess around with them. You need to touch them. You need to play with them. You need to get to know them before you buy their offspring. Hot take. Seems like common sense. I'm not mad. I'm just kind of being funny because that's the only way I can really think about some of this stuff without getting frustrated. But so that's it. Like when you have a dog, yes, there's a threshold and a ceiling in which they are allowed and it is appropriate for them to give you feedback. Growling, okay. Showing teeth, okay. Biting, when is that appropriate? Let's give an example. A dog sleeping peacefully on their bed and a 3-year-old runs and jumps on their back while they're sleeping. They get nipped. Yes, human's fault. I said it. Fire me in the comments. Go ahead. A dog playing with a stuffy on a bed and a kid walks by and the dog growls. Inappropriate, not okay. That's inappropriate. That should be addressed. That should be addressed. Let's think of another one. A dog in their own crate eating raw food, really hungry, and a kid walks up, puts their hand in the bowl. This is a tricky one. Your dog should be okay with that. This is more of a parenting issue. Not the kid's issue, not the dog's issue. You should make sure that your dogs are secure and they have a safe, calm place to digest food without your baby crawling into their face and getting into their food. My dogs would be okay with that, but I still wouldn't allow it. I said that the other day. I said, what the heck was that? Did you guys hear that? Hi there, nice to meet you. Who are you? That was really weird. I think it was I'm not exaggerating. I think that was my TV talking to me. That was creepy. Really quickly, guys, in my head, I tried to analyze like all the women voices in my head that I know. I didn't know any of them, and I just realized that was my computer or my TV. Well, that was weird. Anyway, So there are limits. Like, dogs are allowed to be dogs. They're allowed to be animals. They're allowed to have all these feelings. It's just, when is it appropriate for them to put their mouth on things? Like, dog-on-dog stuff is a much bigger threshold. It's a much bigger ceiling. Much, much bigger. Much bigger. But your sister hanging out in the back seat along for a ride getting attacked, never appropriate. You getting up off your couch and huffing and puffing or farting and you get attacked, not appropriate. Ever. Not cool. That's genetics. You need to call your breeder and go, yo, what is happening? What's going on? Right? And the breeder, just so you know, had told these guys, well, you should have done this and you should have done that and you should have did obedience. And it's like, yeah, but you also shouldn't be breeding dogs that attack you for farting on your couch. So that's also some accountability type-ish, right? That needs to be addressed. Like, that's not okay. Like, that, there's never a time where that's okay. There's never a response of better obedience for your dog biting your sister in the back seat or you farting on your couch. Never is there a time for an obedience response there. That shouldn't happen. So these are my thoughts. This is something, you know, again, if you guys like these videos on my second channel, let me know in the comments below. Let me know what you want me to talk about next time. If you're listening to the pod, this is same old story I've been saying for a long time. Thank you for listening. That's my thoughts for today. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you guys on the road. Again, England, New York, Australia, New Zealand. I'll see you guys soon. Train hard. Smoke them if you got them. Talk to you guys next time. Peace.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.